Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
If you were here, we dove into the first portion of the book of Colossians, the amazing book of Colossians that God gave through Paul, to a group of people, to a church, and these words are still alive. They're alive and they're applicable for us today, not just for then, so it's not just reading history. We're reading things to allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to show us things, to reveal things to us right now, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and that we continue to be changed into the image of Jesus. Every day, that's part of what we're here for, to be changed into his image. And so I want to continue reading some of this. We ended halfway through chapter 2 last week. And Lord, we just ask for your help. Reveal your word by your spirit. Use it to touch and change us, change our mindsets, reveal your truth. And thank you for the power and the beauty and the wonder of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to alternate back and forth between New American Standard and the Passion Translation. I explained some about the translations I used last week. I won't go into that this week. Starting with verse 16 of chapter 2, starts with therefore, which means he's talking about what he's just talked about. And what was he talking about previously? That you and I are complete in Jesus. We are complete in Jesus. You're not complete when you get married. You're complete in Jesus. And so, therefore, since you're complete in him, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink. All the dietary laws, which is clearly what he's talking about, whether you're vegetarian or a meat eater or whatever, those things don't make you holy or righteous. Romans 14 talks about that as well. So don't act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now he's saying here very clearly that the things like the dietary laws, like the Sabbath, were a shadow of the reality of something coming. And we know what that reality is. The reality is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of the dietary laws, and all of the ways that people did things, they were asked by God to do things, that would identify and mark them as, I'm a follower of Yahweh. Whether it's circumcision or the dietary laws or the Sabbath, it was a marker to identify that I'm not following the other gods, I'm following this God. But when Jesus came, he was the fulfillment of all that. So we don't have to go by those dietary laws anymore. You may choose to, that's fine. We don't have to have the Saturday Sabbath as they did then. We may choose to, and that's great. I think it's great to have a Sabbath. But that doesn't identify or mark us as belonging to God. Faith in Jesus does, right? Our faith in him, our trust in him. He is our Sabbath rest. Isn't that amazing? And we eat of him, as Jada was just talking about. In the Passion Translation, that same verse says, all of these were but a prophetic shadow and the evidence of what would be fulfilled, for the body is now Christ. I love that. It's now from the inside. We're inwardly, by faith in Jesus, we're his. We're not outwardly showing by how we eat and what day we set aside. That's not the marker as I'm a follower of Jesus. It's what he's done on the inside. And outside, it's love. It's love toward people and it's love towards God. Those are the markers have changed and the direction has changed from the outward to the inward. Pretty beautiful. Verse 18, take care that no one keeps defrauding you of your prize by delighting in humility and the worship of angels. We're not supposed to worship angels. Taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding firmly to the head, which is Jesus. from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Verse 20, for you were included in the death of Christ and have died with him to the religious system and powers of this world. Don't retreat back to being bullied by the standards and opinions of religion. That's beautiful and powerful. Do not be bullied by the standards of religion. It's not a religion we're following. It's a living person, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He's coming to have first place in everything. He's the fulfillment of all the shadows of the Old Testament. We're following him. Don't let some religious mindset keep you bound to doing certain things a certain way. Those things can be bondage. Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, those type of things that religion tells us. Well, Matthew 15, Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. For what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Again, this is an inward work that Jesus has done by his Spirit on the inside of us. It's not external, it's inward that affects the external. Verse 22, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of man. These are matters which do have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Chapter 3. Therefore, after said all these things, if you have been raised with Christ, you identify with him that he died, you died with him, and when he was raised from death to life, you were raised with him. Romans 8:11 speaks of that. Keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, the heavenly realities. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are the earth. We are constantly pulled and invited by the world to think about things that are on the earth. Your phone is constantly asking you, look at me. I want to show you things that are on the earth. I want to stir up all kind of different things by watching other people do things and watching the news and all of these things. The Bible says, he's saying to the Colossians, keep your minds on heavenly realities. Think about heavenly realities. Think about the Word. Think about the Spirit. Think about the Father and the Son. Think about what he has for us. Think about his love for you. Let your mind be bathed in heavenly realities, not earthly realities. So important for us, what we think about. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're a dead man. You're a dead woman. That old fleshy nature, that thing that gets tickled and drawn to all the things of the earth, that person is no longer there. If you consider that dead, it says in Romans chapter 6, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Jesus. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore, while you're thinking about heavenly realities, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, which that covers a lot of things. We've talked about this many times before, but it's mentioned many times in the Bible. Sexual immorality speaks of everything from thought life to fantasy, pornography, those type of things, to actually involvement in things, whether it's adultery, fornication, any type of sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman, or homosexuality. All of those things are included in immorality, sexual immorality, every one of them. So we're supposed to treat the parts of our earthly body as dead to those things. They're not a part of my life. We need to make that choice. and forever and always as a follower of Jesus. Sexual immorality of every type is not a part of my life. And if it is, then I'm repenting of it, I'm turning from it, and I'm kicking it out. I'm going to have nothing to do with it. Impurity, passion, it's not talking about passion like for your spouse, it's a different kind of passion. Evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things, and this is said several times in the Bible, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. There is a wrath. We have a God of grace and mercy, and I'm so grateful for that. But to those who are fully involved in the things we just talked about, there's actually a wrath that is coming. That's serious business. Jesus talked about it. Paul talks about it. It's not like we just can pretend that those things aren't real. But what we want to make sure is that we are living in a way that pleases the Lord, that we're dealing, confronting all of the crud in each of our lives that tries to rise up, that we just read about, and that we deal with it. That we don't just let it have its way. Verse 7, and in them you also once walked. You used to be involved in those things when you were living in them, but now you also rid yourselves of all of them. You see, there's this amazing power that you and I have when we come to Jesus. His Spirit fills us. We begin this process of being changed into his image, being more and more like him, having our mind renewed, but having also the authority over the demonic, the authority over our flesh. But we have to take that up and use it. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23, take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily. We have to die to our fleshly desires and lusts every day. They are like those trick candles at that birthday party. Our flesh is. It lights up. You kill it one day. You blow it out. Next morning, the flesh is alive again. Jesus said, every day. Every day. Now, if we are not paying attention to that and just going by what we feel and desire and what, we're going to find ourselves in all kind of sin. We have to recognize every day I've got to put something to death so that Jesus can live through me, so that his life can be manifested in my life. Rid yourselves of all of them. And he's going to name some more. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech from your mouth. Anything that's obscene. Don't talk about that kind of, don't let those words come out of our mouth. Matthew 22 also speaks of, by every word you'll be justified and by every word you'll be condemned. So, man, that's powerful. Anything that's not forgiven, confessed and forgiven, we'll be held accountable for those words that come out of our mouths. I've asked the Lord to forgive them. For me, I'm sure you have too, when all those words, not to have all the bad ones, to not count at all, but rid yourselves of them. That means you have power. If you can rid yourselves of something, guess what? You can kick out anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech from yourself. Sometimes we need just to do it in the name of Jesus. You spirit of anger, get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. If I feel anger rise up towards something, that's not the Spirit God gave me. So I am taking the authority you've given me, Jesus, and I'm arresting this thing, kicking it out of my life. We can do that with all these kind of things. It's applying the blood of Jesus. Jesus finished the work on the cross. Our job is to apply what he's done by faith to our lives. But we have to be aggressive. You know, by the way, the Christian life is to be an aggressive one, not a passive one. It's to be offensive on the offense, not offensive to people, though it will be sometimes, but to be on the offensive, not living on the defensive all the time. The big bad devil, he's always doing stuff and pushing me back and me, I've got to go. No. The Christian, the kingdom is advancing. The kingdom of heaven is advancing. Jesus in you is advancing. And so our mindset needs to be one that is on the offense. On the offense. Verse 7 and 8 in the Passion, it says this, that's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds, but now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. Throw it away. All that duplicity stuff, hypocritical type of things. You're living one way in front of others and a different way in the dark when no one's watching. Get rid of that stuff. Whew. I want to be the same in the light, same on the stage, same with in front of people as I am away from people and by myself. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have stripped off the old self and its evil practices. See, throughout this passage, we're going to find some more, it's Paul's telling us, too, that you have the authority and the power to do things. To strip off, to rid yourself, to throw aside, but also to put on some stuff, too. We're going to talk about that. And you've put on, there's the next thing, the new self. So you strip off the old self, the old Adam. I wake up in the morning. I feel angry, frustrated, upset, evil passions. I'm going to die to those things, rid myself of them, and I put on my new self, the new mat that Jesus paid for, the new mat that has Jesus living on the inside. Has the Spirit of God living on the inside. I put him on today. We have to do that almost daily. We should do it daily, is what Jesus said. Which is being renewed, that's that process, to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. In the Passion, that verse says this, in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, nor your ethnicity, your education, your economic status. They matter nothing, for it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in every one of us. So nationality, ethnicity, background, family, nobility, whatever that is, for us, or lack thereof, doesn't matter. We all are in Jesus. He is our identity. He's my nationality. He's my ethnicity. He's my everything. We're all the same in that. At the same time, God has given to each tribe around the world some beautiful things, born into a certain area, having some giftings within that tribe of people. When we think of the Jewish people in particular, though they aren't supposed to take pride in their Jewishness as they have gained something toward heaven, they need Jesus just like every single person needs Jesus, right? Yeah. Every single one of us the same. But there is something that is wonderful in many ways about that tribe, that group, that family of God. There's a calling on them to not only bring forth all of our Bible, and the Messiah, and they're not done. It says in Zechariah 12 that Jesus doesn't return until there will be a moment when they cry out, they recognize that he is the Messiah. And they mourn and weep that we pierced him. And there's a call out to him and Jesus returns. Of course, the devil doesn't want that to happen. So he tries to kill them. So there have been more attempts at annihilating a tribe of people against the Jewish people than any people group on the planet. By far, Christians would be the next group, though we're not necessarily a tribe, naturally. But you see, the devil has been working, whether it's through, the pogroms in the early 1900s in the Ukraine that killed 100,000 Jews, to Hitler killing 6 million Jews, to Khomeini today and many other nations, and that spirit that's alive in the world, risen to try and squash and kill and crush the Jewish people and the state of Israel. It's the enemy. It's the devil behind this. He doesn't want them to survive or to be alive, to call upon Jesus. So there's a worldwide crush and voice that's going out to try and annihilate them. That spirit, it's a spirit. It's been on the earth for a long, long, long time. Manifests itself in several different places. Over the last month, it's been in our country, manifesting itself on our college campuses, rising up to speak and spew hatred against these people. Now we can see this is the plan of the enemy. And we need to pray and stand with the Jewish people. Doesn't matter if they don't know Jesus yet. God really loves them, has a great plan for them. So we need to not have that, be a part of that hatred that the enemy is stirring up and spewing all over the place. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on. We can strip things off, we can lay things aside, we can rid ourselves, but we can also put on. Put on what? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Sounds like put on the Holy Spirit, right? Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, not just those certain people, against anyone, forgive. Just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. In addition to all these things, put on love. There's another thing to put on. Put on all these wonderful things, then put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know, every morning, thank goodness we all do this, we put our clothes on before we leave the house. You make a concerted effort to go into your closet. Some of you may stand there for a while, trying to figure it out. Some of you, men, not one thought, whatever was closest. Put that thing, you put that on. Whether your mind was engaged in it or not, you slid that shirt over to your head. Put on your pants, put on your belt, put on your socks. We need to, in a spiritual way, do the very same thing every single day. When you're getting dressed in your closet, think, I'm putting on Jesus right now. I'm putting on love, humility, patience, forgiveness, gentleness. I am putting on the Spirit of Jesus so that when I leave this closet, I'm not only clothed, not naked, but I'm also a dead man coming out of a tomb into a brand new resurrected life with Jesus on the inside of me. My passions, myself, my anger is not going to rule the day. Jesus is. He's the one inside of me. In the Passion, this passage says, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Have a toleration for each other's weaknesses. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Love is the mark of a truly mature believer, follower of Jesus. Verse 15, here's another power you have. Let. You have a power to allow things, to let things. We can let wrong things in here. I heard a song briefly in my head on the way to church this morning. It was an old worldly song, and I didn't want it in my head. But you know, some words of certain songs, just like, they will just go. And so I had to aggressively displace that and replace it with another thought to get that song out of my head. I know that's a simple thing, but we all probably have to do that. But we can let things into our mind. We can let things into our spirit. It says, let the peace of Christ, as if it's standing at the door waiting to get in. Let the peace of Christ in. That's something you can do and say as well. I let your peace invade my being. Jesus. Invade me with your peace. I allow. I open the door. I let you in. To which you were indeed called in one body. I'm just going to say another note here, by the way. Peace is so powerful. Jesus, one of his names is what? The Prince of it. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace is the thing that God uses to help you make decisions. Especially big decisions. To buy a certain house or to live a certain place or to go do this or to go do that. If there's no peace, then say no in that moment. The peace is to rule our heart, the peace of Christ inside of us. The Bible says peace will lead you. It's so important to allow in the peace of Christ. And be thankful. Let it rule your hearts and be thankful. Verse 16, another allow. The word of Christ, allow it, standing at the door. Let the words of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You're not supposed to live a compartmentalized life. I worked in a government agency that was extremely compartmentalized. I used to work for the CIA for 5.5 years. And I mean, you're in this office doing something, you have no idea what the people next door are doing. Extremely compartmentalized. And that's the way that they function. Only people way at the top know what's going on. We are not supposed to live that way. Compartmentalized in the sense of I'm a certain way in one way, and another day I'm like this, or another day I'm like this. I'm supposed to let the peace of Christ rule every part of my heart. And I want his words on the inside of me to richly dwell within me. And my spirit and my soul and my body in the dark and in the light in every way melded and molded together to live this Christian life, not compartmentalized. Verse 18 and 19, let every wife, how many wives do we have in here? Okay, here's this for the wives. Let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband. That sounds great. My wife does that. For this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband, how many husbands do we have? Let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive toward her. That's a great thing that we have the power to do as men. Allow my heart to be filled with cherishing love for my wife. Those two work together beautifully. Verse 20, children. How many children? No, they're in the kids' ministry. By the way, when the Bible speaks of children, it really is before adulthood. So when the Bible says, especially in the Ten Commandments, children, obey your parents, right? Or here, children, obey your parents. It's really a child that's supposed to obey their parents. When you're an adult, you honor your parents. It shifts. But some parents try to make adult children obey them when they're an adult instead of, and then they don't want to honor either because that can get really rough. Does that make sense? Okay, I just heard up a hornet's nest. Here we go. Just keep moving. But it is important to understand the difference because there's a trade-off or a handing off, I should say, from parents as their children become adults. They then make their own decision. They don't have to obey me, right? Okay. Verse 19, let every husband be filled. I already said that. 20, we already did that too. 21, fathers, do not antagonize your children so that they will not become discouraged. Don't antagonize them. Verse 22, in the Passion, let every employee, we're talking about two employees now, let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer. Not just when their employers are watching and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For the one who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong, which he has done, and that without partiality. Let's do the first few verses of chapter 4, speaking to employers still. Verse 1, employers, treat your workers with equality and justice as you know that you also have a Lord and Master in heaven who is watching over you. You know, we're supposed to, as employees, work heartily. Employers, treat people with equality, justice, do the right thing, treat them well. But employees, it's important how we respond to those who employ us. We're not supposed to be half-hearted, do a half-baked job, show up late, and then pray for God's blessing to have a better job or higher salary. A Christian person, a follower of Jesus, upstanding and living for Jesus and all that we're doing is should be the best employees on the planet. Hardest working, show up on time. I was leading a Bible school once, and I had this young man. He was one of the guys. I was kind of one of my interns. He was so excited. He came to me one day, and he said, "Man, I got a new job. I'm working at this new place now." And I said, "Really?" I said, "I thought you were at this other job, and how was that? What happened?" He said, "Well, you know, they fired me." I said, "Why? Why'd you get fired?" He said, I wasn't showing up on time. I skipped some days and got fired." I said, "Really?" I said, did your boss know you were a follower of Jesus?" He said, "Oh yeah, I would ask him for time off all the time and go and do Christian things." He was a musician. And I said, "You know, you shouldn't be excited about this new job." I said, "We have a big problem." I said, "You've been a lousy representation of a believer to your previous employer." Oops, there goes the mic. And he looked at me stunned. I said, "You haven't passed the test here. So what I encourage you to do, I can't make you do this, but I encourage you to leave my office right now and go to your old employer, not asking for a new job or your job back, but to apologize and repent for being a lousy Christian and a lousy employee. Because you should have been the one that was there, not only there on time, they're early. Because you're serving Jesus and serving someone else. So there should be a quality inside of you of excellence. Excellence in all that we do. And I know that we can complain a lot about employers, and yes, they need to treat people right, but the employees, we're supposed to have this heart. We are serving them. Man, look at Daniel in the Bible. That guy served this king who was crazy, who did all kind of things. He'd kill people at the drop of a hat. And man, Daniel just serving him, praying for him, saying, "Long live the king." That's just incredible. That spirit, and God could promote Daniel in ways that were beyond any natural thing because of the way that he treated and loved and served. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to proclaim it. Verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Holy Spirit helps us with that. Seasoned with grace, not anger, not irritability, not conflict all the time, though conflict is necessary at times, but with outsiders having our speech really baked and basted in love. So what comes out of us is love. And then Paul, for the next 10 verses, I won't read right now, he's sending messages to friends. Hello, and how are you doing, and I love you, all those things. So we'll skip that part. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for these words in particular today. Thank you for the reality that you are in us. We are in you. We are complete in you. You've purchased us. We have died with you and risen with you, and that we get to live for you. And as we live for you every single day, how we serve others is how we're serving you. Lord, I pray that we would, all of us, have minds that are being renewed daily and that they'll be focused on your kingdom realities. The reality of the spirit world and what you are about and what you're doing. Lord, I ask that the things of the world, the attachments of the world, the way the world thinks would fall off of us. All the fear related to it, all the anxiety related to it. As we were singing today, your name, Jesus, breaks every chain. I ask you to break chains of bondage over our thinking, over anything that's dwelling in our hearts, if it's anger, if it's outbursts of anger, if there's sexual immorality present, Lord, we ask you to forgive us and ask you to break that power of that over our lives. If we have not been the best employer or employee, Lord, ask you to forgive us. Help us to be people of excellence and love. Have power, your spirit, sound mind. We love you and bless you. Lord, I bless every single person here too. I just say thank you for their lives, for their families, for their calling, for their heart, for their generosity, for the way they love you. Lord, for their friendships. Lord, I just ask for your blessing upon every single person here. You go with them as we leave here through the day, through the week, not only with your protection, but with your divine guidance, and that you would meet with them in the day and in the night. Lord, I pray that our dreams this week would be fully alive with you. Speak to us as we get to know you, Lord, more and more. And may we have joy overflowing in our lives and hearts. We love you, Lord, and we want to sing and continue to speak your name out every day. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful, beautiful, strong name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.